everybody, and welcome to Good Luck High Five, episode 449.
That's right. You're listening to a podcast that's for you if you play Magic the Gathering. Whether you are jamming some decks together and playing some Jumpstart.
Oh, yeah.
Or you're just ready for this new historic environment, we are here for you.
Oh, yeah. That was the Kool-Aid Man. Hey, everybody. I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
That was the wall breaking as the Kool-Aid Man enters. Oh, we did it backwards.
Yeah. We did.
I'm Megan, another one of your hosts, and I just want you to imagine, what if instead of breaking through the wall and then saying, oh yeah, you just heard like the faint echoes of a deep voice saying, oh yeah, and then you know that your wall's about, like, it's coming.
Honestly, which one do you, which one do you prefer? Like, do you want to know about something bad before it happens?
No, I think that it is infinitely better for the Kool-Aid Man to bust through your wall and then say, oh yeah. I don't want to hear a disembodied, oh yeah, from outside my home.
Ever. Just ever.
Ever.
Just ever.
So.
I'm glad we settled this.
Okay.
On today's show, we're going to talk about that historic environment because guess what? Jumpstart Historic Horizons is here. It'll remain here for a while. And lots of new cards are flooding into Historic and completely changing that environment.
Yeah, it is. It's a really good time right
now.
It
is super
fun. People are playing just whatever they feel like.
Yes,
building
their
wildest dreams. We'll also talk, we can talk a little bit about what we've played in Jumpstart.
Yeah.
Because I've had a good time.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we'll talk about our first experiences. Yes. I have a story to tell, but yeah.
And then hopefully we'll play a little Flavor Text Theater movie pitches with this beautiful collector booster.
Yeah, we've got a collector boosty here. No big deal from Adventures in the Forgotten Realms. It is silver and it is calling my name.
Yeah.
So, movie pitches
just like
from
the
AFR.
Disembodied voice of the Kool-Aid Man outside your home.
Oh yeah. Before we start the show, huge thank you to everyone who supports our butts over on patreon.com/glhfmagic.
Yes, thank you so much to everyone who's a supporter of the show. You literally make it possible and happen, and I know that we say that, so it maybe starts to sound like they don't really mean that, but we literally
mean it.
We could not do this without you.
It's 100% true. Yeah.
Thank you especially to Anthony, Kevin, and our favorite thing ever, two people with the same first name, Ryan and Ryan.
Yay, thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan.
I'm so glad. And we didn't get any Jasons, which we called up for last week.
No more Jasons. So. Although there were two Jasons last week.
Yeah, so we had two Ryans this week. Next week.
If you're an Anthony or a Kevin or a Tony.
Yeah, Tony. We'll take Tony.
We'll take
an I or a Y. Doesn't matter. Tony Collette, join our family.
Someone please contact Toni Collette and let her know
that we
need her to donate.
Yes. By the way, if you are a patron, coming up, I'm going to say next month, but by the time you listen to this.
It will be. Wait.
Wait, how many days are in August?
Tomorrow, it's 31.
I do it on my knuckles. Do you do that? January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, 31.
But you don't have to go even across. You can just go back and forth.
Oh, just back the hand.
April, May, June, July, August, September.
Look, there's a calendar on your fist. okay, so in almost next month,
We
have our patron-only tournament.
This month.
Yes.
It's happening on the 18th.
Yeah, so if you want to play some Gauntlet. Sorry, Gauntlet.
Gauntlet. Gladiator.
If you want to play some Gladiator. Get on into our Patreon, sign up. It's we're going to play a super cool 100-card singleton format.
It's going to be a great time.
Best of 3-4 rounds on Saturday. Really fun prizes galore, truly.
Yeah.
And a great time in our Discord.
So, you know, sign on up.
Sign
man.
On up for that.
It's already, the post is already up.
Yep.
On our Patreon page with all of the info that you need. The link, the code that I never remember. I make it and in the moment I'm like, this code is so funny, I'll remember it forever. I immediately forget it as soon as I'm done typing it.
Yeah, but as soon as you become a patron, boom, the post is pinned.
One of them was,
It was.
It's not anymore. It's not this one, but I think the last one was.
The last one was.
Yeah. Anyways.
Interesting.
Huh.
Thank you as well to Card Kingdom for being one of our sponsors. You can find them at cardkingdom.com/GLHF. Use our affiliate link to buy whatever you want in your magical life. They've got it. You want it? They've got it.
You want it? They've got it.
They also have a pretty sweet like magic blog where they put up cool articles and stuff. And in fact, one of the historic lists that I played a bunch was from the Card Kingdom blog, everybody.
Wow.
So you can find super cool decks there. Not only are they giving you great deals, fast shipping, and excellent customer service, they're also giving you deck lists.
They're giving you information.
Yeah.
And knowledge is priceless.
I thought you were going to say power.
That also.
kick off our discussion of Historic with some Jumpstart.
Yes, I've been having a really good time playing it.
Yeah, it's been really, really fun. It came out on the 26th, yeah, and I streamed a bit of it.
Yeah, you did.
What was your initial impression playing this set?
I enjoyed it more than the other Jumpstart sets that I've played.
Yeah, me too.
It's a really good time.
It's so fun. And I had a moment.
Yeah.
I feel like it served me. The decks, maybe this is just weird bias,
but it knew what you wanted.
It served me the decks to choose from that all had lots of the new digital only mechanics in them because I really want to try those out and see how they felt. And boom, 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 my first like three of them all were super heavy on the digital only mechanics. And it was just like, I said this on the upkeep, but my boomer magic was showing because I was just in shock. I sat there on stream and I was just like, what is happening?
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird.
Wild to me that I didn't realize is that when seek happens, you don't see, if your opponent seeks something, you don't see it.
No.
Right? Because you don't need to confirm that they followed the rules.
Correct.
You don't need to make sure that they did what they were supposed to and got an instant or a sorcery or an elf or whatever.
It just happened.
It just happened. So you don't see it, which is wild.
It's really
to me.
Weird. And yeah. Also the card, what's it called? Light Scribe, whatever. Light Big Chonker, the 1/4.
Light Big Chonker.
Who comes in and is like, one of these cards in your hand costs one more. You know, it's just random. And so there's no pause when it happens. It just enters the battlefield and boom, one of the cards in your hand costs one more. You know, so it's just like it's kind of jarring, honestly. You look down in your hand, you're like, oh yeah, I guess something happened there.
That's wild.
With no pause, no fanfare. One of my cards just cost
it
more.
It just happened.
It just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was really, really weird for the first three or four games.
Yeah. I've found myself, I'll be honest, really enjoying it.
Yeah, me too.
I ended up with, I will admit, I've only played one pair, like one mashup so far. I haven't like left and re-entered because it's so, my first one was so good. It's really good. I don't know.
Do you know what it is?
I don't think that I've lost. I think I've lost one match.
Okay.
Entirely. Like,
wow.
And I've been playing with it for 5 days now.
Okay. What are your two packs?
Bears.
Great.
Love it. And Frailes.
Wow. Yeah. That seems like a great combo.
It's really good. It's just a mono green deck.
Yeah.
You put out big chonkers. You just
it's ramp and
throw
chunk.
Them out there. It has what's Song of Frailes?
Yeah,
you remember that card?
Oh, I sure do,
Maria. It's busted.
How could I ever forget that card?
Already knew it. We knew it was busted back when it was in Dominaria draft.
Yep.
It was just a busted draft card. And let me tell you that in Jumpstart, still busted.
Still busted. Turns out
because with like in this deck, usually by the time chapter 3 goes off, you can have played like 6 creatures. And like, guess what? All 6 of your creatures now get +1/+1.
Vigilance, trample. Indestructible.
And indestructible for the turn. And it's obscene.
It's so cool.
Anyways, but the Frailes one especially has a bunch of seek.
Oh, which is seeking elves. Like, she does it.
She can seek elves. And then there's other elves in the deck that seek elves.
Was it kind of like weird when you're like, seek this elf? And then
it just like, it just appears there into your hand. Boing. And you're like, okay.
So a lot of people, of course, when this was announced, very nervous about this change in Historic. Now, this is just one metric of it. But for you playing, did it still feel like Magic the Gathering?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Like, it's still Magic.
It's still Magic.
It also had like the, what was it, like Veteran Centaur or something like that, Veteran Courser. That's like, it's 2 and a green for a 2/2. But when you play it, a card in your hand, a creature in your hand perpetually gets +2/+2.
Oh, sure.
That card's very
good.
Seems
great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also the 2/3 that generates Pegasi into your hand.
Yeah.
When it attacks or ETBs, really strong.
Yep.
You have to kill it. Yeah, there is some really cool things going on with these digital-only mechanics, and it didn't, to me, feel so oppressive like I was playing a different game.
No.
Which I think people were worried about. Like, oh, this isn't Magic anymore. This is whatever. Yeah. It's still 100%
it's Magic.
Felt like Magic to me. It was just a different magical experience.
Yeah.
A different sort of, like, taste thrill, if you will.
Taste thrill.
Yeah. But there's 46 different packs that you can get in Jumpstart. And amuse-bouche. A different amuse-bouche.
Yeah. Have you watched Pig yet?
No.
Oh my goodness. You all, it's so good. I love it. Anyways.
Nicolas Cage. He's back, baby. Yeah. If there was a pig pack, I would definitely pick
anyways,
that.
Anyways, that was just, there's like some restaurant stuff in it. Like,
yeah.
So good. Such a good movie. Maria, go watch it so we can talk about it.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry. Yes, there's how many packs?
46.
Great.
46, and yes. Bears is one of them, of course.
It was so fun. I loved it. You get a Eula, queen among bears.
Oh, she's great.
Just a busted bear.
Busted bear.
One in a green for a 2/2. Whenever another bear enters the battlefield, you can choose to either put two +1/+1 counters on target bear you control, or target bear you control fights another target creature you don't control.
Great.
So good.
Put 10 Bs. Davriel, of course. I played against somebody playing Davriel, the new digital-only planeswalker.
Yeah.
That was really cool. I got to see somebody accept an offer and accept a condition.
Oh, what was their... Do you remember what they were?
It was really good, whatever it was. I can't recall.
I'm sure.
But here's the weird thing. Remember on the show when we read off the huge list of his offers and conditions?
Yeah.
You get randomly from those lists presented three, and then you have to choose one of the three.
I didn't know that.
Which I didn't know, because I was expecting it to be like, oh my gosh, I have to choose from this huge list, yeah. Which is way too strong, because his offers
then you
are
can just do whatever.
Quite good. But it was really cool to see it happen.
Yeah. Ooh, I would love to be able to play this enchanted one.
Are you kidding me?
I love me an enchantments deck.
That's what I'm playing in Historic. Spoiler alert.
Maria's going to tell us about it.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I had someone play this, the Evolving one, against me.
Ooh, that seems good.
Which was pretty cool.
Wow.
Here's Freyalise.
Freyalise, classic.
Yup.
It's just so well done this time around. You have multicolored packs as well, which you can have this time around because they've changed the way that lands work. Your lands aren't just included in the packet. They get added after the fact, so it can kind of like smartly know how many kinds of duels and stuff you need, which is a huge improvement.
Yes, it's really nice. What were your packs?
Gosh, I don't remember anymore. I know I had Freyalise once. Yeah. I know I had the White Soldiers one at one point.
Humans?
What's it called? Legion. Yep, Legion. I had Kiora, which is great.
Yeah, Kiora's great.
I think what I did with Kiora was really fun. So she costs 4 mana, and her, what is it, -3 and sacrifice a Kraken?
Yeah, it makes you a Kraken.
What do you have to sacrifice, though?
If you sacrifice a Kraken, and if you do, you make a Kraken.
8/8 Kraken. Yeah, so I did that the turn I played her, and then I made an 8/8 Kraken, and my opponent immediately scooped.
Great.
Turn 4, 8/8 Kraken, Kiora.
I beat someone who made a turn 4 Kraken because I had Song of Freyalise.
Oh, yeah. There you
and
go.
Do you know what? Better when you're attacking with 6 creatures, it doesn't matter. So you have 1/8/8. Yeah. Good for you.
So this is like a super good way, by the way, to get your friends into playing Magic if they're not super familiar with the game. I think Jumpstart is probably like, it's got to be one of the top ways to do it.
Absolutely.
You can play infinite games.
Yes.
You get cool new combinations so they can see new cards and stuff. Mm-hmm. I just think it's fantastic for new players.
Yeah. Ooh, someone played Sarah's Realm against me.
Oh, which yeah, I got
they
that
played
too.
Sarah the Benevolent. Which
and
is pretty cool.
Slivers is a deck you can draft.
Oof, yeah.
Multiple sliver packs, which is really, really dope.
Squirrels. Maria, I got Chitterfang as one of my card rewards.
Oh, Chatterfang. I love you.
Chatterfang.
Yeah, the best, the greatest squirrel, other than the squirrel with the little crown.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
A really good time.
Check it out if you haven't.
Have a nice time doing it, you know?
And if you don't even want to play, you don't even have to. You can just get your packs and go home and put them in your historic decks.
Get your packs and go home.
But then you lose out on 2 rare card rewards.
Yeah.
Which is
kind of
sad.
Time.
And a good time. I agree.
So,
yeah,
you know.
So let's talk about Historic Constructed and how the format has shifted now that we have all of these new Jumpstart Historic Horizon cards running wild amidst the decks.
Running wild. All right, Maria.
Yes.
Tell us about what you've been playing.
Okay. So my number one deck I've been playing is Green-White Enchantress. And this should come as a shock to literally no one because I love enchantments and green white is a super fun party time and Jumpstart infused the format with all these new enchantment matters cards.
This deck is sexy.
Yes, it is. I love this deck.
And I use that word and I mean it here.
I mean, also, it's not only is it sexy, it is actually good.
Ooh. So
there you go.
I love that this has, of all things, Sigil of the Empty Throne.
Yeah.
Three white white. Whenever you cast an enchantment spell, create a 4/4 white angel creature token.
Yes.
Whoo.
So here's this deck's deal, everybody.
Yeah, tell
You're going to play a card like Sithis, Harvest Hand, which is a new card from Jumpstart, which is a little 1/2 for green and white. Whenever you cast an enchantment spell, you gain a life and you draw a card.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got your sweet engine going on. You can either do that with that or Sitessan Champion. You remember that one, the 1/3.
Yeah.
It gets a counter, gain life, draw a card every time you play an enchantment. Or you can do it, there's a million different ways. Enchantress's Presence draws you a card every time you play an enchantment. There's 100 ways to draw a million cards in this deck, right?
Yeah. All I want to do.
But what exactly are you doing with all of that card draw?
Oh, this is my favorite part because it's so spicy.
Yes, it's not what you might think, which is attacking with creatures, which is honestly what I would prefer this deck did.
Of
but
course.
Whatever, I'm over it. This is also very fun and very, very mean, which is you play 9 lives. You remember this little buddy? Okay, 1 white, white, and you prevent all damage that creatures would deal to you.
Yeah.
And instead, you put a counter on 9 lives, and once you have 9 or more counters on 9 lives, you sacrifice it. When it leaves the battlefield, you lose the game.
Yeah.
It has hexproof.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, a source would deal damage to you.
Yeah, any source.
Any source. Okay, so you put that down. And then you've got our friend Solemnity, which says...
You may put no counters.
No counters.
No counters. Maybe put anywhere.
Anywhere. So you can't put the counters on 9 lives. So 9 lives never gets more than whatever number of counters.
Yeah.
As long as it's less than 9. And you can never lose.
Spicy.
The only way that the deck fails is if Solemnity leaves the battlefield or whatever, and then they attack you with a million things. But you've got a counter for that because you're playing Sterling Grove, which gives all other enchantments Shroud, which is like hexproof.
Woo! So it's like super hexproof.
Super hexproof. Yeah. So
anything that wants to touch it does not get to.
Does not get to. And you never lose. And then you're like, but how do you win? Well, either your opponent
scoops.
Just hates life and scoops.
I mean, honestly, it's probably going to be it most of the time.
Yeah. Or you play Sigil of the Empty Throne and you make a million 4/4 angels, you win.
Great.
This deck's great. It's really good. I had an epic match the other night playing on my phone like an idiot against somebody who was playing Blue White Blink.
Ooh.
I had 3 copies of Solemnity in play, and I was like, I feel fairly safe at this point in the game, but I hadn't been able to draw any of my win conditions or whatever.
Yeah.
One by one, they dealt with all of my Solemnities.
No!
Which was so funny. And I think they had one window to attack me and win, but they didn't use it. And so then the game just continued when ended with them timing out at something like 300 life. And their soul herder was like a, 130, 130 or whatever. I won, and is the long and short of it.
Wow.
By being extremely annoying.
Wow, Sterling Grove, you undersold.
Okay, go for it.
Because other enchantments you control have Shroud.
Yeah.
One, sacrifice Sterling Grove, search your library for an enchantment card, reveal it, then shuffle and put that card on top.
It's really good.
So we can go and find you your 9 lives.
Yeah. Like, the consistency of this deck is extremely high. You might be like, oh, what's the chance I'm going to draw my combo pieces that I need? Really, really good. Yeah, and the trees are hands.
The art on this card is spooky.
Megan's face.
Not cool. Like, it looks like it should be really lovely, but it's creepy.
Hand trees.
They're hand trees. Okay.
Cool. So I'm going to just go to bat for this Enchantress deck. I think it's strong. I think it's really, really rude, and it's really fun to play. Draw cards, be rude.
Really strong, really rude.
Yep.
What more do you want?
What more do you want? Then, of course, there's a million other decks you can choose from right now, including a ton and ton and ton of tribal decks like Shamans, which is a really spicy list. This list comes to us from Saffron Olive of MTG Goldfish. And basically, you've got a million Shamans in play, all the Shamans you could ever possibly want.
Uh-huh.
You're doing stuff with Burning Tree Emissary, making extra mana, blah, blah, blah. And then you've got creatures that put counters on all of your Shamans that are on the battlefield.
Okay.
And then when you attack, the creatures with counters on them, target player for 1.
Oh,
but it can
spicy.
Actually be more than 1 if you're playing. Let's see, which creature am I thinking of here? I can't think of it. I'm just looking at it. Harmonic Prodigy, is that it? I think it might be Harmonic Prodigy, which doubles any shaman effect. Oh. So then it dings them for 2 instead of 1 each time a creature with a counter attacks. Yeah.
Yeah.
this deck can win like very, very quickly out of almost nowhere.
That's really cool.
Which is really spicy. Yeah.
Of course, playing our good old friend Collected Company.
Yep. Coco.
Get all these little buddies into play.
Yeah. So if you like a certain tribe, you can play it in Historic right now. There's shamans. Somebody played a cool blue-black ninjas deck against me, which was running Ornithopter so that you could ninjutsu something out super early and then just play your Ornithopter for three again and free again and then ninjutsu something again the next turn.
That's very spicy.
It was cool. That a lot. Very cool. Zombies is a huge deck right now. A ton of zombie rewards.
Zombies are big right now.
Zombies are huge right now. And we're coming up on spooky season, so why shouldn't
spooky
they be?
Spooky season. Wow, this deck looks familiar in some ways.
Yeah.
It reminds me a little bit of the deck that won Pro Tour Amonkhet back
yes,
in the day.
Yes, absolutely.
We have Crypt Breaker.
Classic.
Very key. There's Lazatep Reaver, which is great. That's one in a black for a 1/2. When it enters the battlefield, you amass one.
Yep.
So it's a zombie. It also make you zombie.
And you've got Lord of the Accursed, which is your zombie lord, Liliana's Mastery to make
which
zombies.
Also gives them a buff.
And buffs them, yep.
Then Dark Salvation, which is a removal spell, and make zombies.
Yeah. Zombie town.
Zombie.
Yeah, that's something I love about what's happening in Historic right now. Like, all of these decks, I've played against them, and I've lost some, and I've won some.
Yeah. Somebody call the Cranberries.
Hello, Cranberries. Here I am. Speaking of, I'm just going to quickly mention the Vampires deck because this doesn't have a lot of new cards.
I can't believe that this isn't what you're playing.
I mean, look.
I cannot believe
it. Am I going to go home and play it? Yes.
Okay.
But yes.
That's all the people ask of you.
I mean, I'm so excited for Crimson Vow. It's not even funny. Mono Black Vampires here got sixth place in the Hooglandia Historic Open that happened this past weekend. Not a ton of new stuff in here, but just knowing that it's good enough to get sixth in this random open makes me feel very good.
Yeah.
You're doing the classic thing. You're playing Sorin, and then you're putting a Champion of Dusk into play early, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Vampires. But the deck I played against more than anything is Blink.
Yes. I just played against this for the first time the other day, and I was like, what's going on?
Yeah, so this is all kind of built around the card Soul Herder. Do you remember this card, fam?
Yes. So this is one white blue for a 1/1. Whenever a creature is exiled from the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on Soul Herder. And at the beginning of your end step, you may exile another target creature you control, then return that card to the battlefield under its owner's control. The person I was playing was actually on Bant. We were talking about this earlier.
Bant
because
Blink.
They co-code in a Soul Herder.
Oh, sure. Yeah. There's different flavors of this running around. Blue, white, Bant, Esper.
Yeah.
People are trying out all sorts of Blink because honestly, if you're a Magic player, chances are you like doing this thing that's in this deck.
Yes.
Which is extreme value town.
Yes. So you have Meddling Mage, just one of the rudest things that's ever happened.
Rude.
Really love Chris Bakula. Hate this card.
Yeah.
Card. Into the ground. Blood Artist, which is great. Davriel's Withering as a removal spell. Thraben Inspector. Who doesn't love blinking a Thraben Inspector for more clues?
Literally nobody.
Like, what a good time.
Yeah, blink that. I've seen versions playing Charming Prince, which gives you another blink.
Yes, I think the version that I played against was playing Charming Prince. They also had...
Yorian.
Deputy of Detention.
Yorian. Deputy of Detention.
Because they could like steal something and then if something better comes along, you just like blink it.
Well, Skyclave Apparition is a perfect example of that.
Yes, that's in this version.
Because you don't even get it back. You just get a stupid tutu or whatever.
You just get a stupid token.
Yeah, and this one is notable because it's running the Vesper Lark Davriel's Withering combo.
Ooh, tell us about it.
All right, so this is the combo that most people had spotted in their sights on day one of this being available to play because it's an infinite loop. Vesper Lark, when it comes into play, you can evoke it and you get back a creature that has power one or less from the graveyard to the battlefield.
Yeah.
Okay. And so if you have a Blood Artist in play while you're doing this, you cast Davriel's Withering on your Vesper Lark, which perpetually, remember, gives it -1/-2, ensuring that its power is one or less. So boom, 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 comes back from the graveyard to the battlefield. And the Blood Artist triggers are going off because it's dying every single time, draining your opponent.
Wow.
There you go.
Hot.
The first instance of a digital-only mechanic breaking the game, question mark?
Making a combo.
Yep, making a combo.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So I built a Davriel's deck with this combo in it, and I just felt so mean.
Wow, you were just like, I'm sorry. I can't.
I have to do this for science to see if it's any good.
Wow, Maria.
Yeah.
Sure.
Really
for
rude.
Science.
Really rude. And this is interesting that they're pairing that combo, which you can just run in black and white decks, here in a blink deck too, which I think is pretty sweet.
Yeah, because then you can always just use, like, even if you don't have Davriel's Withering, you can just use your Vesper Lark for value.
Yeah.
Get back something that you lost.
Your Blurred Artist, your Thraben Inspector, your Cruel Celebrant. That one counts too if you have Cruel Celebrant. It does the same thing as Blurred Artist, okay?
Yeah.
The more you know.
Oh man, what a good time.
Yeah, so Blink is the deck I've played the most for sure. And then we've got to mention this other deck because if you play Best of One, you've surely ran into it already.
Here's the hint. If your opponent mulligans and then mulligans and then mulligans and then mulligans to like four or three,
you know.
They're on this deck.
Yes.
Just be ready.
Be aware, everybody. Tybalt's Trickery is back.
Yes. So tell us what they're doing.
All right. So this deck runs on Tybalt's Trickery and Throes of Chaos.
Yeah.
So Throes of Chaos is a lovely little spell, which is 3 red for a sorcery that has Cascade. And what Cascade means is you play it and then it finds a spell with lesser CMC and then it casts that.
Yes.
After you cast that. And it has Retrace, so you can discard a land and play Throes of Chaos again.
Ugh.
Okay, so the only thing that Throes of Chaos can hit in this deck, because everything is very expensive, is Tybalt's Trickery.
Wow.
And y'all remember Tybalt's Trickery being so tricky.
Yeah, it is so tricky. So this is the one that's 1 red, instant, counter target spell, choose 1, 2, or 3 at random. Its controller mills that many cards, then exiles cards from the top of their library until they exile a non-land card with a different name than that spell. They may cast that card without paying its mana cost.
Yeah, so what you'll hit in this deck is any of Magic's greatest hits here.
Yep. Genesis Ulamog. Ultimatum, which is already going to be busted. Magma Opus, Eugene the Spirit Dragon, and as you said, Ulamog, or Sarah's Emissary.
So you just do this on turn 4. Do you want an Ulamog on turn 4? Probably.
Everybody does.
Yeah. So this deck is definitely Feast or Famine, okay?
Either you get it, or you do not.
You get it or you don't. I've definitely played it a number of times where I just couldn't mulligan into the hand. That's right. I did this again. For science, I will point out.
You're just evil.
For science. And I also played the mirror, which was a very bizarre experience.
That's very dumb. That's very dumb.
But this deck does exist primarily in Best of One.
Yeah.
So be on the lookout for it.
What a weird time.
If you want a really weird time, you can play it. But I don't think it's like great. It's like just very silly. And it can cheese wins, of course, out of nowhere.
I can't believe that you played that, you absolute monster.
I am an absolute monster.
Yeah, you are.
The other two decks I wanted to touch on were Affinity. That exists in this format. If you like the old modern deck, you can play that. As well as Arachdos Madness, which is a very, very fun deck. A number of different builds running around out there of Arachdos Madness right now.
I love Madness as a mechanic.
Yeah, me too.
One of my favorites.
It's so, so, so fun.
Yeah.
Just discarding for value, discarding Fiery Temper. Instead of paying 3, you pay a single red to do 3 to any target.
Gorgeous.
What more do you want?
What more do you want?
Yeah.
Truly.
I think the Madness deck is probably one of the most fun to play after the Enchantress deck.
Really good time.
But again, nothing truly settled out there as to what is the deck in Historic.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we won't find out at the MPL or Rivals Con because they're just playing Standard.
I will say that I have still been playing Jeskai Control.
Yeah, sure.
And it's also still a
absolutely
thing if that's what you want to do.
Jeskai Control still viable. Got beat by it this morning. So
yeah.
Definitely Control. I didn't talk about them because I'm me, but they are definitely out there.
Oh, they're out there.
Yeah.
But also not always a ton new going on.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
All right, Maria.
Movie pitches.
Let's do this.
Okay, we're cracking a collector's booster of Adventures in the Forgotten Realms.
Yeah.
And Megan, how does this work?
Okay, so for movie pitches, what we're going to do is we are going to draw cards from this booster. And then, I mean, it is what it is. We're going to pitch movies.
Ooh, look at this token we got with it.
Based on the names.
Icing Death. Frost Tongue.
Ooh.
Legendary artifact equipment. Equipped creature gets +2/+0. Whenever equipped creature attacks, tap target creature defending player's controls equipped 2. That backside is a treasure and it's foil.
Wow. Very cool.
So I'm going to just mix up these cards a little bit here on the table so we don't know what they are before we pick them in rarity and whatnot. Oh.
Yeah. And so, you know, it could be a movie, could be a TV show, could be. Who knows what?
This is our most expensive movie pitches ever.
Yes, it is. So if you know studios with the big bucks, hit us up.
Oh. Oh, this is so pretty. It's foil, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have one.
Okay, go for it.
This is a movie in kind of the vein of like all of like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Flubber.
I'm in.
Classic like parents who are scientists, reckless scientists specifically, who do experiments that should not be done in their own homes. And this is about a pair of scientists who are obsessed with sound and sound waves and creating the perfect sound wave. And so they are always like doing different stuff in their home to try and create fun sounds, like dropping plates down a set of stairs.
And they're like recording it.
And recording the noises.
They fully are.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and all of their kids, right, live in like this home where like constantly it's just like.
This is a Disney Channel original.
They shove a pillow inside of a cannon and fire it. until one day they accidentally create a noise that is so loud and so strange, it brainwashes the entire town.
Wow.
And so they have to figure out how to unbrainwash everybody from the noise that was flumph.
That's perfect.
It is a Disney Channel original.
It is
a
Disney Channel original. Have you heard of the thing called the brown note, by the way?
That's like a what's the word that I'm looking for?
Urban legend.
Yes.
Yes. That when you play that specific noise, people will poop themselves. And it was actually studied by government scientists to see if they could find it.
Oh, of course they wanted to.
Yeah.
Just like how I'm sure I've talked about this on the show before. The U.S. government once bought the entire world supply of LSD. You think that I'm joking, but I mean it. They bought all of the LSD in the world.
Great.
Anyways.
All right, this movie involves ghosts, and it was filmed in the 80s, everybody, so it's like a throwback. This is like Neverending Story style situation, stop motion ghost animation. And basically, it just involves somebody whose job it is to take animal spirits and shepherd them from the normal world into animal heaven.
Yeah.
And of course, along these trials and tribulations of getting these animals to animal heaven, they find some that should be going to animal hell.
What? Wow, this took a real turn.
In Sylvan Shepherd.
Wow. Pretty. Animals that should be going.
I mean, these animals were pure evil.
Okay. All right. Maria, I bring you a film about a man who is obsessed with finding the true killer of JFK. He believes that it was never discovered and that, in fact, the shots fired from the grassy knoll were what really killed JFK.
Oh.
And so he goes down like a full deep dive to the point where he builds a tunnel underneath the grassy knoll and makes a bunker inside of it. And he lives there looking and waiting for clues, because he's also paranormal.
So did he go back in time?
Do you know what? Let's say he did.
Okay, so he's back in time waiting for the moment.
Yes. So he builds a bunker under the grassy knoll, goes back in time to wait for the moment when people on the grassy knoll try to shoot JFK in Knoll Hunter.
I'm watching it.
Yeah.
I'm watching it.
I know you are.
This next film is also kind of like, it's going to be claymation, okay? I'm into stop motion today. What's happening is there's a forest on the edge of this town, and there's our young protagonist goes out to the forest every day to visit the trees until one day one of the trees talks back.
What?
And it's just like, it opens up its tree mouth and it's like, ah, hello, because the tree is just learning to be able to speak for the first time. and take its first tiny tree baby steps. And in fact, the entire forest is at the same time kind of learning. They're gaining sentience. They're becoming their own beings, breaking free from the forest collective and is running to start their new society. Of course, the entire town is terrified by this. Why wouldn't you be? And they want to burn the forest down.
No!
But our protagonist has to stop the tree genocide in evolving wild.
Wow. Oh, that card is so cool.
Alternate art, everybody.
I love this alternate art. It's amazing.
I love it so much. It's probably my favorite that they've ever done. Yeah, it's for sure
incredible.
It's the D&D style, everyone, just in case you're wondering.
Okay, this is the story of a young goblin who just is like not like the other goblins because they cannot figure out how to love being aggressive and violent. They don't love going out and attacking. Great. They're just like... they're like, I can't get myself to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Until one day, one of their siblings was like, do you know what? You just need to find like your aggressive side.
Oh.
And so they do a whole bunch of, right. It's like a huge adventure of like,
trying to find
what
makes you mad. What makes you mad?
Exactly. Until they find the thing that helps this little goblin Hulk out and become, you know, violent in hulking bugbear.
All right. This film is one of our rares. Of which there are multiple
in
this pack. There's a chef and they're really good. Everyone goes to them. There's something really interesting about the way they cook in that they always cook you the dish that you most want to eat.
Wow. Maria, go watch Pig.
There you go. Even if you're like, I ordered the carrot cake and they deliver you the steak and you eat it and you're like, oh yeah, I did actually want the steak.
Yeah.
How does this cook know what I want? Well, every time they make the meal, they take a little piece of your brain.
And
cook it in with what they're cooking.
No.
And it turns it in. Like, yeah, it's like there's a...
So you're cannibaling your own brain.
You're cannibaling your own brain, but it's the best meal you ever had. Would you press this button?
No. I cannot...
Mind flare.
I cannot say emphatically no enough. No. Absolutely not.
It's just a small part.
No.
This is like the, what was it? Are You Afraid of the Dark? Where the...
Yes.
The cook is cooking with fear.
Yeah. Oh, delightful.
Oh, no. Goosebumps. Was it?
No,
whatever.
That's an Are You Afraid of the Dark.
Okay. Yeah.
We watched... Do you remember watching that?
Yeah.
Were you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. This is the story of... This is like a very... the animated version of The Black Cauldron, like Lloyd Alexander world. Oh, of it's a village that has been in this country that's been plagued by dragons.
Yeah.
For almost as long as they can remember, except there's also this like story passed down of once upon a time, the dragons were kind. Once upon a dragon, the dragons were kind to people and they got along and they lived in harmony.
Great.
But then something hundreds of years ago happened.
Oh.
And they like, so this kid, she hears this story about how dragons used to be kind. And she says, someone must have done something.
Yeah.
And she goes on an epic quest across the country, trying to find out what happened to make the dragons hate people. And she finds out that, sure enough, there was this warlock that stole a precious orb from the people, the Orb of Dragonkind.
Because they were kind when
they were kind to people.
Orb.
And so she gets it back so that the dragons in her village can live in harmony again.
I've got another dragon film here. This one is a series of shorts that you can see on the internet. What it is there's a bunch of...
I look at series of shorts on the internet all the time.
They're like posted on Comedy Central's page. I don't know. But like...
I was just joking about shopping for shorts.
Oh, I see.
Yep. Anyway, sorry. Keep going.
What it is a bunch of bosses who have to terminate employees, but they can't do it. So what they end up doing is calling in dragons to do it for them. And then the dragons just roast people like into ashes in dragon's fire.
Great. Great.
Because they have to fire them.
Yep. They have to fire them.
You get it?
Wow. You don't want to get fired there.
No. Do not get fired at that office.
Okay. This is the story of a young giant who, like the goblin from earlier, just does not fit in with the other giants. But it's because they just are like, this life is boring and it's very, like, my life is laid out before me. What am I going to do? I'm just going to go and fight the way the giants fight. Like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And so instead, he finds a different way to use his tools by becoming a downhill skier on his giant shield in Rime Shield Frost Giant. It's like the Johnny Tsunami of D&D.
This film is about a contest that occurs every year in which humans will carry little dwarves on their backs across the countryside. And whoever reaches the goal first, it's like basically the Amazing Race, wins the prize.
Ooh.
and then somebody wins in Dwarfhold Champion.
Great. Can you apply to be one of the people who just gets carried?
Yeah, you just get carried
excuse
around.
Excuse me, I would just like to be carried
around.
Oh,
that's fine.
Yeah, these are some great films.
Yeah, excellent. Some great cards. Excellent cards. Yeah. We got some real fancy stuff here.
Yeah, we did. Here's this Wulfgar of Icewind Dale. It's borderless.
Beautiful. The Evolving Wilds we showed you already.
I'm so happy that we ended up with one of those. A foil borderless flump.
Oof, that is a great looking flump.
Really, really cool.
Then we got a couple of this of the D&D manual cards, like the Mind Flayer.
Yeah, we have Null Hunter, the Frost Giant, which is foil.
Wow. Gosh, these collector boosties are just
pretty great.
Just a joy to open.
Oh, yeah, this borderless Orb of Dragonkind also.
Cool.
What value?
What value? Let's say a heartfelt thank you to Ultra Pro.
Yeah.
Ultra Pro, where the pros go. And also the non-pros.
And also the ultras.
Yeah, so true.
Are you an ultra?
Go to Ultra Pro.
Go to Ultra Pro. Yeah, they just have so much cool stuff. We just got a whole bunch of playmats from some of the secret lairs from the summer.
Yep.
Which are just incredible.
Gorgeous.
We have the, what are the ones that are the signets?
The signets. Yeah.
And they just look, they're gorgeous. They're beautiful. If you're like, hey, I don't have a reason to buy the signet secret lair, but I love like the art on this and I want to be able to have it. Just go like get yourself a beautiful playmat of it.
Yeah.
You can look at it large scale. I have my harmonized one that they did.
Really beautiful.
It's so cool. And it just makes me really happy every time I use it.
They release new secret lair playmats and card sleeves all the time.
Literally all the time.
So they just announced that they're like, hey, check it out. Here's a playmat of the ink style of the Kamigawa.
Oh, so cool.
It's secret lair. So like Ultra Pro's already like, hey, check it out. We've got playmats for you to
see.
They're
ready to go.
We're ready to go. We've already got this stuff. You can buy it.
Got you.
If you haven't seen those ink styles for the secret lair, they're just gorgeous.
Really gorgeous.
And Ultra Pro's like, yeah, we got you.
Yeah.
You know? So check them out. Ultra Pro. Well, everybody, that's this episode of Good Luck High Five.
Yeah. Wow.
Thank you so much for hanging out with
what
us.
What a world we're living in.
If you have a super sweet historic deck that we didn't talk about on the show, but you think...
Let us know.
We didn't even mention Merfolk. Yes, you can play Merfolk.
Yes, you can play Merfolk.
Just let us know. You can tweet at us at GLHFMagic and let us know what you've been rocking with a deck picture. It's just like such a great party out there right now in historic.
It's so fun. So we hope that... You go out there and you have a blast.
Yeah. And coming up here on the 2nd, which is Thursday, previews begin for Minestrad.
Minestrad!
Innistrad Midnight
Minnesota
Hunt.
That's Minnesota when it's spooky Halloween time.
Minestrad. Midnight Hunt previews, 9 a.m. twitch.tv/magic if you want to check out those previews. We've got a sweet preview card. But they start on this Thursday. And then after that, stick around because it's going to be the MTG Rivals and MPL Gauntlets happening through the weekend, which is all standard. But I've seen a couple of tweets from people which are making me sort of interested because they're like, I made an interesting metagame call and I'm excited to see what happens.
Spicy.
So I'm like, ooh, are we going to see some weird stuff like we saw before with us?
I hope so.
Weird, like, control deck, you know, using Midnight Clock and stuff? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's possible it'll be very, you know, same old, but it's possible that we might get some weird stuff here as the death throes of Standard echo across the walls.
Everyone loves an interesting death throw.
And we're going to send 4 people to the World Championship.
Which is exciting.
Which is a huge deal. But yeah.
Thank you again to everyone who supports the show over on patreon.com/GLHFmagic. from the bottom of our hearts every day. Seriously, thank you. And especially again to Anthony, Kevin, Ryan, and Ryan.
Yay! If you are an Anthony or a Kevin, challenge for you next week to become a new member. You can join in our super sweet patron-only tournament on the 18th. You get access to our Discord and a bunch of other great rewards. Thank you to Card Kingdom and Ultra Bowl for being amazing sponsors.
Yep.
And we'll catch you back here, everybody. Same bat time, same bat channel, except a totally different bat time, technically, because it's a week, even though, you know, they meant time of day. And also,
you
can
listen to it whenever you want to.
Yeah, that's true. So never mind. Don't forget everything I said.